Stephanie Hale, Stephanie J. Hale. You're an entrepreneur and motivational speaker. You're co-founder of the Millionaire Bootcamp for Women, an annual conference held for over 1,000 women entrepreneurs in London. You're the author of Millionaire Women, Millionaire You, which features interviews with 12 women who rose from zero to millionaire. Your book has been called A Piece of Dynamite, A Brilliant Blueprint, and by no less than Dr. Joe Vitale, a real eye-opener. Yet you were once a single parent living on a street where hookers and drug dealers touted for trade. Stephanie, I'm absolutely delighted to have the opportunity to interview you.
I'm absolutely delighted to be interviewed. I'm really delighted that you asked me. I'm honoured, so thank you.
Well, it's a real pleasure, and I'm sure it will be an eye-opener for listeners too. And I would love you to start, if you would, with your own story, whatever you choose to share from that.
Well, goodness, how I got started in business, it wasn't something that I ever considered that I could do. I was someone who really struggled at school with things like maths. When I was growing up, it was all something that men did. It wasn't something that women did. I had a grandfather who was a property entrepreneur, but it was very much the notion was that I should go out and get married, find myself a husband, and that was kind of my supposed to be my role in life. So I didn't really think about money. I always thought it was something that my husband would look after. And so although I did actually have a career of my own, I kind of felt like I was breaking the mold a little. But my life really changed after I got divorced. I had a very acrimonious divorce, lived temporarily in a refuge. I went from a kind of nice lifestyle, living in a lovely home, nice car, nice, you know, looking after my son, stay-home mum, to pretty much overnight living in not very nice surroundings. As I say, initially we went to a refuge. After that, we moved into a flat that had water pouring in through the ceiling, mold on most of the walls, toadstools in the bathroom. As you said earlier, hookers were outside touting for trade. We had drug dealers living around us. It was very violent. Had people trying to break into our home. We couldn't even put washing on the line without it getting stolen. So it was not a nice environment. And there was also a child at that time who got raped. A four-year-old child got raped in our back garden. And that, for me, was the point at which I just said, enough. You know, I am not going to bring my son up here. I don't want him to grow up to be injured, to be hurt. At that point, I went to the library and I looked. I didn't even know at that stage what I was looking for. I didn't have a clue. Honestly, I was so clueless. I can't even begin to tell you how clueless I was. And I felt like, you know, a complete moron because I went to the library. I didn't even know what I was looking for. And I just looked for books with money in the title, anything to do with money. And so I went home with a pile of books, which was quite daunting at the time. And one of the first books was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And that kind of made me reassess what I was doing at that time and completely changed my outlook on life and business and made me feel like I could do it. I could actually learn things. I'm not going to say it was easy. There were a lot of nights where I stayed up, you know, struggling with books and thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm never going to be able to do this. And a lot of, you know, crying and feeling like I could never do it. But that was the beginning for me of my journey, I suppose, in business and different other things I've done.
Yeah, and that's absolutely fascinating. So it's fascinating. You found yourself in this dreadful place. I love the English understatement. It wasn't very pleasant. It sounds absolutely grim. And you had no clear plan for the future, I'm imagining. Is that right?
I had no plan whatsoever. Money wasn't really something I'd ever thought about. I'd let my husband manage money. So, as I say, I felt like a complete fool because, you know, I'd been walking around with my eyes wide shut. You know, I'd been sleepwalking all those years. I'd let my husband manage the money and suddenly, you know, I had this acrimonious divorce and I didn't have a clue how to go out and earn money. I didn't have a clue how to look after myself and my son. The job I'd been doing, I'd been working through the night doing long shifts. There was no way I could do that with a four-year-old child, and I didn't want to leave him with a nanny. So I knew I had to do something that was going to get us out of there, and I knew I wanted to make, those were desperate times. We were, buying clothes from charity shops and struggling to make ends meet. And because of that, I think I pushed myself outside of my comfort zone and was prepared to look at other solutions. So that was essentially what I did. I signed up for different newsletters on the internet. I signed up, for different webinars such as this one, and basically tried to learn as much as possible from kind of motivational speakers, from successful people, so that I could learn what they knew. I wanted to know how they did it. I wanted to know how they'd got from zero to millionaire, how they'd actually learned to do what they did, because, I knew that if they had done it, I could do it too, and that kind of offered a little ray of hope for me.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that at some point the belief came in that if they could do it, I could do it too. Was that always with you, or did that happen after the Rich Dad, Poor Dad experience?
To be honest, it took a very, very, very long time to believe at a real deep level that I could do it. It was more of a, oh, they're telling me I can do it, but I don't really believe I can. I had a lot of self-doubt, a lot of crises of confidence, and I was thinking, is this all a big scam? Are they just fooling me? Am I just kind of trying, am I reaching for an impossible dream? So it took a very, very long time, years, and I'm not talking about weeks or months, I'm talking about years to actually really believe at a core level that I could do it. But I just carried on anyway, because I had no choice, because I was kind of at the bottom of the barrel. There was no other way for me to go. The thing is, the way I saw it is I could have stayed living where I was living for the rest of my life, being miserable and unhappy and worried about my son and his safety. Or I could do something to try and get out of there. And, there were many times where I made mistakes or things didn't go the way I wanted to, or where I honestly, I just felt so disillusioned and demoralized, and I didn't think I was, I didn't believe for a long time I could do it. There's no two ways about it. But I think if you sign up even for, one newsletter, and every day you learn one new thing, over the space of a year, that's 365 new things you learn. And when you start to apply some of those things in your own life, even if it's just something as simple as putting little post-it notes around your house. I mean, this is one little tip, is actually putting post-it notes around your house. I mean, I've got them all around my house at the moment. I've got one on the fridge saying, happiness is a choice. I've got one in my kitchen that says, every day and every way my life gets better and better. And I, I have a million-dollar check for myself, say £1 million check for myself, sitting above my computer, and that's one of my goals this year. There's an event I'm holding, and that's what I want to make from that event. So you set yourself little goals, what's called your reticular activator inside your brain, which is the thing that filters out what you notice and what you don't notice. So, for example, if you wake up in the night, you might filter out the traffic noise. You don't hear the traffic noise in the night, but when your baby cries, you wake up with that baby. Or suddenly, you're buying a house and you notice that there's an estate agent that you've been walking past every day for the last 10 years. That's your reticular activator in your brain noticing those things. So little post-it notes around the house to yourself, that are positive things that make you feel good about your life. And then you start attracting positive energy to yourself. It helps you achieve your goals, it helps you feel positive, and it helps you feel that you're able to do things. And as I say, you only need to learn one thing like that every day, and it can make a massive difference to your life.
I absolutely agree. And I'd just like to ask you, before we go on with the positive theme, what's, in your experience, the single most destructive thing a woman can do when she's in the kind of situation that you're in, at rock bottom, struggling?
Goodness. The single most destructive thing is, I suppose, probably lack of self-belief. Letting the things that are in the immediate, what the things are in front of you, because at that time, as I say, I had a lot of court hearings, I had financial problems, everything seemed insurmountable, everything seemed impossible. And I think one of the most destructive things is not being able to see beyond that, of thinking, right, I'm in a tunnel right now, but out there is the light. And if I get through this tunnel, there's light. And actually, what's the blessing in this? And that has stood me through so much adversity and so many hurdles, of thinking, what's the blessing in this? Because I'll tell you something, is some of the worst things in my life have been some of the best things in my life, without a shadow of a doubt. And every millionaire that I know, and I know, you know, a lot of millionaires now, whether through my boot camps, through my book, Male Millionaires, Millionaire Mentors, they've all had enormous adversity. People tend to look at successful people and assume that their life has all been a bed of roses. I'll tell you something, the majority of them had things that have been worse beyond people's worst imaginings, you know, whether it's illness, being paralyzed, being, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, being bankrupt. But the thing is, the ability to actually look beyond the pain of the present moment and see that there's hope in the future, and thinking, what can I learn from this? How can I do things differently next time? And actually looking beyond, as I say, your present adversity, and actually bouncing back from it. Because I think in school, probably from our parents too, and probably from the church as well, there is a sense that somehow if you fail at something or you make a mistake, that you're a failure. And actually, it's just thinking, well, no, this is a learning process. It's like learning a bike, you know, learning to ride a bike, that you fall off the bike, but you get back on it. You fall off the bike, you get back on it. You don't just say, oh, that's it, I can't ride a bike then, I'm going to give up. And I suppose the other thing is surrounding yourself with like-minded people, because often when you're feeling down, you tend to mix with other people who kind of whinge and feel down, and, you know, and then you all bring each other down, and you all agree that life is terrible and life is very tough and you're never going to do this, you're never going to do that. Change your friends. Think about, you know, going out to seminars that are free. Even if you can't get out and you've got children, go on forums on the internet and find other positive people who are achieving what you want to achieve, who are successful, even if they're only a few steps ahead of you. Think about friends who are supportive of the things you're aiming for, who can help you, who can give you tips of things they've tried and have been successful for them. And surround yourself with like-minded people who are going to be positive and uplift you and make you feel positive every day. Because believe me, once you start feeling positive and a bit more hopeful about your life, you start attracting much more positive things into your life too.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I love the question you asked yourself, what's the blessing in this? What a powerful way of lifting yourself out of the difficulties. A powerful way of saying, I know that there is a blessing, even if I don't know what it is now.
Mm, yeah, and that's probably the most powerful thing in my life, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yes. Yeah, because it would be too easy just to go into, this is really awful, it's happened to me.
Yeah.
Lots of things in our life. And it doesn't get you anything but more misery.
Absolutely.
And what happened when you started to believe that you really could do it?
Goodness.
What became the belief that was entrenched in you?
What happened? Goodness. I mean, first of all, I learned to trade commodities and equities, which was a bit of a joke because I'd been so dreadful at maths at school. I mean, I would say I was actually quite phobic about maths. You know, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I hated figures and numbers. I only had to see one to come out in a cold sweat because I just hated them so much. And I just felt like I could not do it. It was a I cannot feeling. When I started to say, instead of saying I can't and thinking how can I do this? You know, then I started to, it empowered me. And then I started to learn more about business. And as I started to, I suppose, I didn't believe for a long time I could do it, but I just kind of kept going down that path anyway, because I knew that for me, there was no other way. I couldn't carry on staying where I was, so I had to just go forward, keep going forward in little baby steps. But as I say, as I changed my friends' circle, amazing positive people came into my life. I met amazing millionaires, entrepreneurs, successful people who all gave me their time. They were prepared to talk to me, help me, and they would, as I say, you only need to learn one thing from one of them, And that takes you forward a little bit. So you edge forward in little baby steps. And eventually, as you start to see results, you know, anyone who tells you that you're going to achieve everything overnight in some amazing, you know, get rich quick scheme isn't telling you the truth. It doesn't happen that quickly. And you're setting yourself up for a lot of misery if you believe you're going to suddenly achieve it all in the space of, you know, a week or a month. It's about taking small steps, slowly, slowly, slowly edging forward. It's not all going to happen all at once. And you do have to put a lot of hard work in. You know, it means you don't sit watching EastEnders in the evenings or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You do have to make some sacrifices. But obviously you have to think about the long-term game plan, which for me was, I might be making sacrifices now, but, you know, in 3 years' time, in 5 years' time, I'm going to be able to have a lot more spare time. And now, for example, I've got three children. I'm a single parent. I work when they're at school, so I work from 9:30 to 3. I have 10 weeks holiday a year when they're on holiday. If they have a school play, I go to school. And I, you know, I have a nice life. And the thing is, I actually enjoy what I do. If I wasn't being paid for it, I'd be doing the same thing anyway because I love what I'm doing. So that's what you've got to aspire to, is perhaps not chasing the money, which of course is empty and a bit soulless. So you're not thinking, oh, there's money in mobile phones, I'll do something to do with mobile phones. You've got to find out what your passion is, what you love doing, what you feel really, really excited about, and then think about how you can turn that into something that you can monetize and make a, you know, either hold seminars or do coaching with people, or can you produce products or DVD sets? Something to do, something you're passionate about, because that's going to see you through all the difficulties and hurdles that you're going to face, because of course you will do. There's no perfect life in the, it isn't like that. Of course, there's always going to be adversity, but if you're passionate about something, for a start, it's very infectious. Other people feel that, and they know that you've got integrity and that you're sincere. They trust you. And you know you're helping other people too.
Yeah, and I can hear that passion in your voice. And I was just struck when you were saying you make sacrifices now for good life later. But actually, almost you could argue that it's about, if you don't make the sacrifices now, you'll be sacrificing the rest of your life.
Definitely, without a shadow of a doubt.
EastEnders or any television program is not very much compensation for possibilities thrown away over the longer term.
Sorry, carry on. That's me interrupting you. Sorry, Annie.
Okay, so you found what you're passionate about, and would you like to share with us what your passions are now?
What my passions are? Yes. One of my passions is helping other women to achieve financial freedom, because, you know, I know what it was like to be in that position myself, and to be struggling and not to have any mentors. And most of my early mentors also were male mentors. You know, there were male millionaires who helped me on my journey. I was looking around for female mentors, and I think women do things in a very different way. Most of the women millionaires I know are kind of doing things for, you know, they're doing things for for family reasons, because they want to spend more time with their children. They're doing things for charitable causes, and they're doing things from a place of empathy, where they want everyone in their workforce to be happy. You know, they want to make sure everyone's happy. They do it in a very different way. So that's one of my passions. Another one is helping authors to help authors to devise bestseller campaigns for their books. I help them to pitch their books to agents and publishers. So that's a big passion of mine. You know, I love books. I love publishing, and I love helping other women who perhaps haven't, you know, they can't see the light. They're in a place of darkness and they think that there's no hope for them. But it's about empowerment, you know, about taking back control of your life. And I think women particularly are susceptible to that because, you know, of divorce, one in three marriages or one in two marriages, if you're to believe those statistics, end in divorce. And women outlive men by 10 years. So you know, even if you're together for the rest of your life, you could end up a widow. And then you've got a lot of women then suddenly are faced with having to manage their own finances. And it's very scary for a lot of women because no one teaches you how to do these things in school. And to suddenly, having had somebody else manage your finances, suddenly have to do that for yourself is a frightening time. And money, you know, buys you freedom. For me, it's not about, you know, the blue or the green banknotes or purple banknotes. It's about having the freedom and the choice to make choices for your family, to make choices for your children, and actually being in control of your life. I know certainly when I was working for somebody else, they would have dictated when I took my holidays. They would have dictated if I took the day off because my kids were sick or if they had a school play, whether I was able to go to that school play. Suddenly I'm in a place where, you know, I make the choices. I choose the clients that I want to work with. I choose when I spend time with my family and my children. And when my children want to do something, I don't have to look in my bank account and think, sorry, you can't have that, you know, that packet of crisps, or you can't have that toy that you want. I can make choices based on the fact that I've achieved that level of financial freedom.
And that's really beautiful. And I'm thinking that you say you're helping women with money, and a lot of women have a different attitude about money. Certainly, like you, I was brought up to be married, and the man did financial bits. There was a sort of trade-off. I did the social bits, he did the financial bits, so I was irresponsible about money. But there is this feeling that it's not quite nice for quite, I think there's a lot of women have this feeling that it's not quite nice to make money, to be financially stressful. And possibly that's because we have this perception of hard-nosed men doing that. You're talking about doing it in a very, very different way, are you not?
I think there's definitely a perception that money is dirty. I mean, I went to a series of church schools when I was brought up, and I remember school assemblies, when we were told that, you know, it's harder for a rich man to get into the gates of heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. You know, there are lots of little phrases like that, whether it's in the Bible or in newspapers, you know, fat cat bosses, rich bitch, you know, all this sort of language that's very negative about money. And it's really cheating us out of a free lifestyle where we're not like little hamsters on wheels, working in jobs that make us unhappy. So many people I know are doing jobs that make them desperately miserable. Do you want to be miserable for the rest of your life? Do you want to do a job that you hate doing? No. Do you want to bring up children that have spent their time in nursery and you're working all the time? No, absolutely not. Do you want to live in a house that's too small for you and your children haven't got their own bedrooms? No, again, no. All those things, ultimately, are about having your freedom and freedom of choice. So it's not that ugly word, money, at all. It's about freedom and creating a better lifestyle for yourself and your children. You know, I know people have never taken their children on holiday. They've never had even a holiday. They've just been busy working and doing overtime because they're making ends meet, and they're not even living a particularly, you know, amazing lifestyle for the hours they put in. You know, it's just work every day for them. It seems to be an ordeal. You know, and life is so precious. You don't want to just be thinking every day is an ordeal. Life is special. You should be living, well, you know, when you're a child, when every day is like Christmas Day. You wake up in the morning, you feel excited about the day ahead. You feel happy about the day ahead. And I know that's how I feel about my days every day now, is I wake up and it feels like Christmas morning because I know another exciting thing's going to happen. I'm going to meet exciting people. But it wasn't always like this for me at all. I can't, you know, it's not something that I've always had. It's just because I made those choices, and that was how I chose my, you know, I decided I wasn't going to live in that miserable place anymore, and I wasn't going to succumb to all the things that were kind of pulling me back and holding me back. But as I say, anyone can do that. It is something that's achievable, and you don't have to do anything particularly clever. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. A lot of the time, all you have to do is find somebody else who's successful and copy them. You don't even have to do something original, highly original, unique. You find somebody else who's successful, work out how they've done what they've done, and then just copy them. It's as simple as that.
That's fabulous. And I'd like to go into that in a little bit more detail, if I may. So For you, every day, Stephanie, is like Christmas morning now. Going back 5 or 6 or 7 years or whenever it was when you were really on that dreadful street with hookers and drug dealers, would you ever have believed that you had the talents to create the life that you're living now?
No, absolutely not. Not in a million years. No, never. Not at all. No. What can I say? No, not at all. I didn't, really didn't. I didn't believe it, not for a minute. They were very, very, very dark years. They were very dark years, and I felt like I would never get out of that tunnel.
And I don't want to take you back there. It's just that I know that for some of the people who listen to this, the kind of dialogue in their head may be, well, it's all right for her because she's more talented and she can do this and she can do that and she can do the other. But the truth is, at that time, you felt, if I'm understanding correctly, that you're completely at the bottom of the barrel and pretty resourceless and just a bit like rabbit in headlights, but just with this one thought, I've got to get out of this somehow.
It was sheer desperation. It was not cleverness or intelligence or anything remotely like that. It was sheer desperation. And I can see now, looking back, that actually that was the best place to be. I know it might sound a bit heartless or a bit ruthless, but that really is the best place to be. When I have clients coming to me now asking for my help, I can tell the ones that are going to do something and the ones that aren't going to do something. A lot of people ask for my help or my advice, and I can often, if they're in a place where they're not really very desperate, things aren't very bad for them, I just think, nah, you're not going to go away and do anything. You're not going to take the action you need to take to actually get yourself into to change your, improve your business or improve your financial situation. But the ones who have really, really got their backs against the wall and they're absolutely cornered and they really are in great pain, I know they're going to go away and they're going to do something. They're going to take action because often they're in so much pain. They've just got to do anything. They'll do anything to get out of there. So it is a great motivator. And I certainly know from, as I say, a lot of the millionaires that I know, they've been in that place of pain too. But it's hard when you're there because, no, you don't believe. You feel like every day is another blow. There's another blow coming at you, maybe 3 blows, maybe 5 blows, especially if you're in and out of court. You know, I must have been in and out of court about 50 different times over the years, and that dragged on for probably 5 years, the 5 years of going backwards and forwards to court with my divorce. Obviously, I won't go into details, but it felt like a very, very dark place. But one of the positives about it is if you're giving yourself little things every day that motivate you and inspire you, you feel like you're actually you're reclaiming your power back, because I felt very powerless. I had very low self-esteem. I had very low confidence when I first got divorced. I was very ashamed. I was ashamed to be living in that house, in that flat. I didn't even want my friends to come round. You know, I was embarrassed to be living there. And at the same time, I lost a lot of friends through my divorce. You know, before that, I'd had a big circle of friends, and suddenly it seemed like my support network had gone. Part of it, I will say, is because I was so embarrassed and I was probably not inviting people around. But part of it were people, I think, who weren't particularly good friends, who kind of shed me from their social circle. So suddenly my support network went at exactly the same time. You know, I'd lost my husband. I'd lost my friend network. It was very difficult seeing my son, who was 4 years old at that time, suffering as well, and the pain he was in. So you do feel at that time, you know, as though you've got blows coming at you from every angle. Looking back now, I think if anything like that happened to me again, and something similar, I mean, I have had big blows happen over the last few years. It hasn't all been a bed of roses. But the thing is, I bounce back so much quicker now. I accept that I'm going to have pain, but I'm also going to have healing, and I'm also going to have a lesson in there and a blessing in there. And I think if I went through the same thing again now, I would be much more resilient. But as I say, you certainly don't see when you're in that dark place that you're ever going to get out of it.
No, I can certainly relate to that. And just fantasizing for a moment, if you had been able to stay in that marriage, presumably you would have lived a life very much more ordinary than the life you're living now.
I would have been a doormat for the rest of my life. I would have had a smaller life, you know. I mean, that the divorce was the making of me. I would have carried on being in a supportive, quite subservient role as more of a housewife, as a mother. I would have had very small goals. I would have not kind of reached out and met the amazing people that I've met. I would have probably stayed very unhappy. And the thing is, I think with unhappiness is it's a very insidious thing when you're unhappy and miserable, in that you get so used to being unhappy, it becomes normality, and you just, you know, you think that's just all life has to offer you. You can't believe that life can offer you anything more than that. You just think that's what life is. Life is doing jobs you don't really want to do, being with somebody you don't really love, or you love them, but they're giving you a lot of pain, emotional pain, and you're somehow brainwashed into thinking that's all life has to offer, which is so desperately sad to think that people do that to themselves, you know. And as I say, I've been there, I've done that, so I've got the T-shirt. But it doesn't have to be like that. My goodness, it doesn't have to be like that.
No, not at all. And just thinking that had things continued as they were, and aspects to it must have become a little bit less unattractive as you were really struggling, you would not have been able to touch all the lives that you have touched. Because you are going to make a mass difference to people now.
I think one of the things I love about the people that I work with is that the millionaires that I work with are all self-made women. They've all had very, very similar backgrounds to me, in that they've overcome massive adversity. None of them have been, you know, I don't tend to work with people who have had a helping hand from their husbands or their fathers or landed money. I'm not really interested in those. I'm interested in people that have actually done it for themselves and have triumphed over the odds. But one of the great things is that, you know, pretty much every week I get an email or a letter off a client whose life has changed massively, you know, and that they have, the great thing about it is something called paying it forward. Sometimes people come to me, I give them help, and I also say to them, you've got to remember, you've got to pay it forward. Like, now you're in a place of struggle, but one day you won't be. And I remember people saying this to me, you know, you've got to pay it forward. And what that means is that you help other people. Is when millionaires were giving me their time and their advice, and I'd say, well, you know, how can I repay you? And they'd always say, just pay it forward. One day you'll pay it forward. And I'd just say, what are you on about? Pay it forward. I can't help myself. How can I help anyone else? But, of course, now I am in a position to pay it forward. So I'm able to help women in the Philippines. I helped women in the Philippines last year. I've paid, I helped a lot of people, help with children in Africa, in the third world. There's all sorts of charities, a breast cancer charity. And what's wonderful to me is seeing that other people who are my clients go on to help other people. They set up breast cancer campaigns. They go on and help other people and set up charitable causes and put money into other things. So it's about helping other people, and women particularly, because they have families and children, you know, they spread the message. It's not like they keep it to themselves and it's all competitive and it's like, oh, I'm better than you, I'm gonna do this better than you, and kind of jealously guard their secrets. They want to help other people. They want to help their families. They want to help their children. They want to go and help other people in the community. And that's what's fantastic about working with women, is they don't just keep it to themselves, they spread the word. I can't actually remember, Annie, what your question was now. I just went off on a big ramble.
Well, it was, you were going exactly in the direction of the question. And, yeah, you've thrown me asking me that now. I was talking about you touching lives, and you were talking about paying it forward, which is what women do. Mm. We basically can't help ourselves, I think. And I was also thinking about the fact that when you're in that dark place, when anybody's in that dark place, it's so easy to say, this is who I am, when it really is, when really all it shows you is, this is where I am at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's all about the interpretation that we put on things. And I keep being struck by the word millionaire, 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 because we have so many associations with millionaires. And from the sound of it, these millionaires are women who have actually managed to tap into their resources and touch other people's lives in a bigger way, and that money is just a tool. Money is something they have accumulated, and a tool that has made it more possible for them to connect with more people in a positive way.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is, a lot of, you know, I mean, one of the things that I found, particularly over the last year, is people can make their millions and they can lose their millions just as easily. You know, Rachel Elner, who's one of the people in my book, she made created a business that was turning over 100 million a year and then lost it overnight. But this is the thing that shows you it can be done. You know, I can think of several millionaires I've been talking to in the last couple of weeks that have lost tens of millions of pounds in the recent downturn. But what's important is, once you learn these skills, they can never, ever, ever be taken away. So you lose that money, you can make it back again. And once you learn this knowledge, it's in your brain, no one can ever take that away from you. You know, you're investing in your own, you're investing in yourself and effectively your family, creating a better life, a lifestyle for them. And I think it's getting past, I think a lot of people get very stuck with feeling ashamed, feeling humiliated, feeling embarrassed by things that have happened in their past or mistakes they've made. But it's getting beyond that and thinking, today is the rest, you know, it's the first day of the rest of my life. Anything that happens to me is my choice from this day forward. And thinking forward, what's going to happen tomorrow and the day after tomorrow? So instead of looking backwards at your past, you're always looking forwards at your future. Because your future, you can create anything you want. It can be anything you want it to be, anything at all. You know, you just pick your dream and you follow that dream. It's about persistence. I mean, as I say, it's not going to happen overnight. If you think it's all going to happen in the space of 6 months, you're kidding yourself. And, of course, you're going to set yourself up for failure. But if you've got a big dream and you keep chasing it, you're going to get there eventually. Yes, that's effectively part of it, is actually being able to push forward and overcome any adversity that faces you.
Yes, and our mistakes are the most fertile experiences that we have.
Absolutely, definitely, without a shadow of doubt.
Yes, in so many ways. It's just that they hurt when they happen.
Yes.
Is there any woman who can't, who you think can't actually reach out for a dream and achieve it if they want it and go for it?
No, I don't believe for a minute. I know people, successful people, who have been paralyzed, who have been bankrupt, who have been told they only have months to live, people who've got no limbs, people who have been homeless. You name it, they have done it. So whatever position you're in right now, there's always someone who's worse off than you. And I'll tell you what, there's always somebody who's worse off than you that has still been successful. So there's no excuses. Anything you tell yourself is just negative self-programming, which is why it's really important that you stand up every morning in front of the mirror and you say, I can do it. Every time you catch yourself saying, I can't, or, oh, I don't know how to do that, I'm not clever enough, forget it, you know. You can do it. It's just about choice. Don't even think, oh, somebody else is cleverer than me, brighter than me, got more than me. It doesn't matter, you know. I just think, well, if just supposing tomorrow I decided I wanted to set up a pharmacy company, I would find out all the other people who'd done that, and I would get mentored by them. I'd find out how they'd done it, learn as much as I could. I know nothing about pharmacy, you know, I know nothing about that industry. But I think if that was what I wanted to do and that was my passion, that was my dream, then I could do that, and I could make a go of it, and I'm sure I'd make a success of it, because now I know that it's just a matter of actually setting your goal, setting your intention, and then finding other people who have achieved that goal and copying them. It's not a difficult model. It's not a complicated thing to copy at all. So I don't believe there's anyone that has got an excuse for not being successful, not in a million years. If you tell yourself that, yeah, sure, it will happen. You know, when I was, for example, when I was learning to write books initially, I believed at that time it would take me about 5 years to write a book. Hey, presto, it took me 5 years to write my first book. I believed I wouldn't make any money from it. Hey, presto, I didn't make any money from it. I believed it wouldn't be a bestseller. Only certain clever celebrity people got bestsellers. Hey, I didn't have a bestseller. You know, when I changed my thinking and I believed I could make lots of money, that I could have a bestseller, that I could have celebrities endorsing my book, that I could write a book in a month, all those things happened because I believed I could do it. I found out how to do it. And I just, as I say, it's about self-belief. I can't, it's all mindset. It's about how you think about things and you believe something and then you achieve it. If you believe negative things about yourself or about success, that's the results you're going to get.
So there really is a magic wand. And that magic wand is actually available to all of us. And that is just mindset.
That is the most amazing, most powerful tool. And the thing is, it sounds, I know when people used to say this to me, I know I can hear myself saying it, and I think, God, when people used to say that to me, it used to annoy me. I think, oh, for goodness sake, what do you mean it's about my mind, you know? What are you on about? I want money, and I want it now. I need money now. I'm desperate, you know? And I think, oh, God, forget all that claptrap. I'm not interested. I just want the money right now in my bank account. And so I kind of ignored that for a long time. It was just like, oh, it's like background noise. I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. I want the money now, and I want it now, right now. But you've got to really, as I say, it sounds simple. It sounds airy-fairy. It sounds like head in the clouds, but it's not. It really, really, really isn't. It's about mindset. But as I say, it does sound a bit woolly if you're in a place where you need money right now. But you've got to first believe you can do it, and you've got to start thinking positively and start bouncing back from things. And before you have that in place, you can try making all the money you want in the world. If you don't have that mindset, you're going to lose that money just as easily as it comes into your life. Or you might not attract that money into your life in the first place, or that success. I'm not just saying about money, but about success. You know, things can change, and when you change your mindset, your whole life starts to change. You know, I'll share something with you. The 5 years I spent having a very acrimonious divorce with my ex, so very difficult times, and as I say, initially we were in a refuge. I'm now actually very good friends with my ex. You wouldn't believe it. I'm sure the judges who saw us in those years in the courts would never have believed that that would ever, ever happen, and I certainly would never have believed that was possible. So once you start changing your mindset, amazing things happen. When you start having your self-respect and your self-confidence back, other people start respecting you and giving you the respect that you deserve. You know, even exes that you thought that you would never, ever, ever speak to again, who have put you through hell and back, those people actually, you know, they will start respecting you as well. As I say, a huge amount is about mindset and how you believe about what you believe about your life, what you believe is possible, how you perceive other people, all sorts of things.
Yep, so it really is the tool that changes everything, the magic wand. And I'm absolutely gobsmacked that you've reached a stage where you can actually be friends with your ex. That just does show the power of the changes that you work within yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, as I say, I'm sure the judges that saw us the many, many, many times over those 5 years would never have believed it either. But, I mean, you know, now we work with each other in business. I send him clients. He sends me clients. We, you know, give each other advice about our businesses, our respective businesses. And we work very well together with, you know, with childcare arrangements. all these things that I never in a million years would have imagined all those years ago. I'm sure neither of us would have imagined that. So it works on a personal level in your personal life as well as in your professional life, or it applied to money or success.
And that's really beautiful. So you just change your world by changing your mindset. And I do remember thinking when someone said that to me first, that's all very well for you, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
It took a little longer. Because that's really the only thing you can change. Stephanie, if there was just one thing that listeners could take away from this interview, what would it be? What would you want them to take away?
I would say go away and give yourself some happiness and sparkle in your life. And I'd say do that by signing up on the internet, if you've got internet access, or through the library. Go away, read books and educate yourself. Sign up for people's newsletters. Bring some positivity and happiness into your life. You know, bring as much positive energy into your life as possible, because once you start, it's infectious. Once you start feeling positive, you'll draw even more. And you start to get on a roll. It's like a snowball effect. You start with a little bit and it gets more and more and more and more and it grows. And then all the negative things in your life eventually start to fade away little by little by little. And you might not notice it because it might happen so slowly at first. But over time, that has a massive effect. So I'd say go away, sign up for, you know, on people's Facebook pages, go away on and sign up for free newsletters. I've got one at millionairewomenmillionaireyou.com, a free newsletter, and you can also have a free chapter from my book and a report there on, you know, wealth tips for women. But there's lots of other people who are doing the same thing, either through Facebook or through Twitter, social media, or on their own websites. Google some of the words that you are keywords to you. Now, if you're interested in stained glass, put stained glass and put entrepreneur next to it, and then go and have a look on people's websites, sign up for their newsletters. So that would be the number one thing that I'd say take away from this interview, really.
Mm-hmm. So take a simple action that everyone can take.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being positive. And the snowballing effect from that over time will lead people to places they might never have imagined.
Definitely. And yeah, living big lives instead of living small lives, where you're kind of living a very limited life. You know, it's very easy to get swamped by all the things that are, you know, facing you right now, right here, right now, whether it's health issues or financial issues or personal issues that cause you tremendous pain. But believe me, it's far better to get out of that place of pain and give yourself hope than it is to stay stuck there, because, you know, I can think of people that come to me that are still stuck in the place of pain from something that happened to them 20 years ago. And I think, well, you know, that horrible event that took place might have taken up a month of your time or even 6 months of your time, but you've had 20 odd years since then of happiness or things, potential for happy things to happen in your life. Don't let that awful, hellish 6 months or hellish year take over your entire life. That would just be a terrible waste. You know, start your life today. Decide today that you're going to change things. Make that decision right now. Listen to this interview right now that you're going to start getting yourself to a happier place. And aim to get to a place where you're actually feeling every day is Christmas Day. You know, that's how life should be.
I love that, Stephanie. And I shall certainly take that on board. Christmas morning for me every day too.
I was going to say, assuming you enjoy Christmas.
I think I enjoy Christmas morning. By Christmas evening, I think, okay, I've had enough. But that feeling that excitement is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. It's been absolutely wonderful to speak to you. And let me just remind listeners that your website is www.stephaniejhale.com, and Millionaire Women, Millionaire You, is that another website?
Yes, MillionaireWomenMillionaireYou.com is where you can get the free newsletter from. And you get a sample chapter from the book, and you get a free report called 5 Millionaire Steps for Women, Steps to Take Today. I think it's called Simple Steps to Take Today. It's something like that anyway. And you can get that from there. You'll also get notifications from there of the next Millionaire Bootcamp for Women. We've got a 3-day event coming up in the last weekend of November. If you're signed up for my newsletter, then you should be able to get tickets for that event, for the 3-day event.
And can I just say, I attended the last one. It was absolutely fabulous. And quite ironically, I got there really early on the first day and was chatting with a security guard. And he was saying that he'd done a hugely long shift, but he was going to be there all day, and he was loving it. He was in boy heaven. No trouble. A really great event. He just didn't want to go home. He'd been up for about 36 hours by the time I last saw him. Everybody loved that event.
Yeah, so it was a very positive event. It was very good. A lot of buzz there.
There certainly was. Even the security guards loved it.
Yeah, it was a good event. It was fantastic.
It was, and there was something so special about it being all women. The energy was totally different. The blokey ones are sort of all a little bit aggressive, I think. And this was just a really nice place to be.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Valuable information. Well, I don't want to keep you any longer because I'm aware that your time is valuable. So once again, many, many thanks for speaking to me today. And thank you. I'm sure you will have touched many, many lives today.
That's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
So, Stephanie J. Hill, thank you very much.
Thanks, Annie.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.